There has never been such a creative spirit of life as that one. I had anticipated Robin sharing is that this morning's hour together is in part created with David Schumann, who shared during our Story for All Ages. He won last year's sermon that was offered at the auction last May and that will be offered again in just a few short weeks, and it has been a privilege to work with David and get to know him a bit more through this process. And what I can assure you, David, is that the Spirit is at play this morning. So we are sure to continue in this hour learning more about what we are doing here together. So as David and I first discussed this experience of being a creative person and wondering about what happens in that moment where everything seems to just unlock and connect and make magic through something that seems completely outside of ourselves, I immediately thought about how all throughout high school, I played bass guitar in both ska and hardcore bands. Now, if you don't know what those words mean, ska is basically a punk rock band, but with a horn section. It's joyful, it's jumping, it's collective. And hardcore is exactly what you are hoping it's not. It's screams, singing lyrics on pain alongside really fast drums and loud, crunchy guitar. It might make more sense to you to picture that I also played clarinet, bass clarinet, the recorder, a brief moment of piano, and over a decade of violin. At times when my body relaxes, my left hand still habitually rests as if ready to hold the neck of a fiddle, each finger ready to land on that invisible note craving to be made real. Music surrounded my life, making it, listening to it, and yes, in all of the ways a high schooler can, processing my life through it. Which is to say that when David sent me the inspiration for today's service, a Boston Conservatory welcome speech to freshman parents, an address on the power and purpose of music in the world, I understood each word. I could feel the urgency and purpose that I once knew so well. And what I haven't shared with David is that it also broke open a terrible point of grief for me, knowing my fingers are no longer calloused from the frets on a bass, and how long it would take me to sight read a hymn, and worst of all, myself, as someone good enough to participate in that exchange of imagination, experimentation, and co-creation. And so I come to you all this morning fully expecting actually to be in good company, that something like, 90% of us are ready to hear a sermon on the spirituality of creativity that you think has nothing to do with you. You, like me, who has heard or learned or told yourself that you are not an artist, a musician, not talented, not creative, not, I trust the voices of negation have filled in your very own personalized blank. But it wasn't always like that, was it? 3-year-old Tobias hums himself to sleep at night. An almost 1-year-old Malcolm instinctively moves his small body perfectly to the rhythms of his brother's off-key singing. His body moves while his face remains perfectly earnest, as if he has no control over this musically responsive interruption. My niece, not yet 4 years old, recently sat on the house stairs, overcome with sadness, releasing these big, quiet tears. Why? Her grandmother, my mother, asked. Baby, what's wrong? The instrumental music that was playing on the radio made her feel something, she said. It wasn't always like that. that so many of us were disconnected from the wordless languages that live within each of us. It wasn't always true that such language was left in our childhoods. But of course, we have been concerned with other things. Unitarian forefather William Ellery Channing's catchphrase was salvation by character. He and the other early Unitarians believed we got closer to God by putting to use our minds, our reason, our intellect. They believed the work of the sacred was through the work of our thoughts. And later, when those same Unitarians started hanging out with the Transcendentalists, those crunchy 19th century hippies, our theology expanded past a text and out into the world. We began to value experience, the natural world, and our relationship to it. The Universalists knew to question the value of a God who would judge something it made. How could God call you a failure when you are a part of this grand, immaculate creation? Throughout our history, our theologies have evolved with appreciation for these different parts of us that make up our human lives, our minds, our bodies, even an acceptance of our interdependence. And this has been good, necessary. It has been radical at times. An expression of our living tradition of being called awake to the world. But it has been safe. If ours is truly a living tradition, it is one of constant revelation and naming that. And not just through the sciences, but through our experiences, and not just the experiences that confirm our biases of thought, experiences that drop us into those wordless moments. That creative exchange that reminds us how the world lives and speaks, and that we can place ourselves right into that process of creating, that we are a part of it. Which is not to say that we don't feel something here. I mean, truly, if we're not, what are we doing here? There is so often that thick moment that makes time seem suspended in air right after a piece of gorgeous music stops. We don't breathe. We can't clap. We hold with as much desperation as appreciation what has just happened to us, with us, for us, by one or a collection of us. And I have watched you breathe differently. Deeply swallowing awe into your lungs as your eyes watch the sun move the chalice that is so often projected from the stained glass, moving from one end of this blank wall to the other. The earth shows her movements, and we are witness to this quiet miracle. Sometimes just the right words placed in just the right order can rearrange our hearts. I'm not saying that we don't feel something. It's just that we are, as poet John O'Donohue would say, ex-babies. We all once lived in an imaginal world and asked questions like, why is the sky blue, or where does God live? And we stopped to let our bodies move to music we heard. Our spirits still crave that freedom to wonder, to be stopped by surprise, to feel that exchange. And all the answers to all the things we have in all of our Google machines and our fearful, confident, defensive hearts and heads, it is breaking the bonds we have with our most natural, sacred selves. In this space, in this hour, I wish we looked at pretty things. I wish we used our mind and reason to honor the detail in a painting of flowers, a photograph of some gorgeous sky, pretty things, whatever they might be, for they are a slit in the midst of a hard and ugly world. Not to forget, not to shut out the realities of this life, but to refuse only the confrontation of pain and despair, prettiness as an emblem of hope and an achievement. bottled up and preserved when we need it. And all the same, I wish that on some days, just every so often, I could drape from the bottom to the top of this blank wall behind me, just every once in a while, an image that could purposefully remind us of the blunt cruelty of this life. For that kind of creativity serves to remind us of the normalcy of pain, making visible what we try to hide, what we all try to pretend away through smiles and a presentation of control. And is this not the purpose of church? Is this not the purpose of art? The Greeks said that music and astronomy were two sides of the same coin, explains Karl Polnack, the author of that Boston Conservatory address. Astronomy was seen as the study of relationships between observable, permanent, external objects. You get that? You can picture that? And music, he said, was seen as the study of relationships between invisible, internal, hidden objects. Music, he continues, and actually let me interject, it's not just music, right? That's what this whole day is about. It's not just music, it's not just painting, it's not even just being present. It's painting, writing, gardening, rethinking how a child needs to be taught. Maybe it's rearranging your living room, dropping into that flow when you're running. For some of us, it is cleaning data. It is the verbs of our life, and therefore the holy acts, what David called plugging into the universal flow, and what I would call the exchange with God. Through some process that is beyond our reason, beyond the function of our body's movements, beyond the production of our lives, there is some creative exchange that when we enter into it as creator or recipient, it, quote, has a way of finding those big, invisible, moving pieces inside our hearts and souls and helping us figure out the position of things inside us. It allows us to move around those big, invisible pieces and rearrange our insides so that we can express what we feel, even when we can't talk about it. Creative expression rebalances us. It speaks for us. It quenches some part of our thirsty spirit and tells the world what we need more of. So if it's pretty things, maybe it's serenity in a crazed world. If your kid shows up in a punk rock band, maybe she just needs a container for all that chaos of her inner life. Whatever it is, the further we move from believing it is ours to access, to understand, to make ourselves, the more our soul becomes shy from its own gifts and forgets the language between you as co-creator and the unfolding universe of which we are a part. Now, if you have gotten to this point in the sermon, in the service, and you're still saying to yourself, well, she hasn't heard me actually try to, she hasn't seen me try to draw a straight line or a perfect circle, I will offer to you what David said to me, and it is this. It was an unsacred act that was committed against you when you first were told those retorts and believed them to be true. When you go home today, doesn't have to be right away, but at some point on this day, I want to invite you into a practice with me. And I know some of you are going to think this is silly or you're not going to like the name of it, but just try it. We say to those who share during joys and sorrows that we will hold them in our hearts. And we promise in our presence to offer our thoughts or prayers, our meditations and energy. Today, at some point, take out a piece of paper. Grab some crayons, if you have them, or maybe just different colored pens if you don't. And draw a shape any shape, a triangle, a squiggly line, an imperfect circle. And then I want you to write the name of someone on your heart inside that shape. You might write your own name. Then add detail. Dots, lines, zigzags, squiggles. It doesn't matter because this isn't about judgment or perfection. This isn't about production or value. And that's going to come up for you because that's what we are trained and encultured to want to have in our lives. So when that comes up, just acknowledge it and then wander back. And keep adding that detail until it feels finished to you. Add color, colors that remind you of the person. And when you're done, maybe you'll make a new shape for another person that you are also holding as you continue to color prayerfully. I've been in all these conversations lately with more than a few people, members and non-members. They, you, some of you, God on Sundays. Now, that's an entirely different sermon that you can bid on at this upcoming auction. I don't know if we offer God in this house. I don't know what it would mean if we did. For me, the theist, saying that, for you, the atheist, for others in between and outside, I do know that here we strive to care for the spirit of life that is collective, the thing that exists among us and because of us, and the spirit that exists within each and all that is waiting to be spoken to sing, to respond, to give color back. But that's not prescriptive, that caring for or even naming of the Spirit. We need practices, faithful practices that can call us into our lives, that let us feel our lives rather than numb us from them. Practices that awaken our first wordless languages and, like a homecoming for some essential part of ourselves, help us remember that we are not good enough, but gifted simply for being. We are part of this immaculate, unfolding creation. So let the Spirit sing and let it play and give it shape. Speak your prayers, for that is the only way that we will hook into that great mystery that surrounds us all. May it be so, may it be creative, and blessed be.